How do you identify the digital assets in your business? In this episode, we're going to be talking all things digital assets and intellectual property. The key here is that you can identify what you have and realize that your creations, your brain, is actually making you money.
Welcome to Bold and Branded, a podcast where we discuss the exact steps you need to take to leave your 9-to-5 and step out on your own. From taking bold steps to building a brand, we are here to give you actionable tips so you can walk away and build your business, along with a dose of encouragement, because let's face it, entrepreneurship is a bumpy ride. I'm your host, Courtney English, attorney and entrepreneur, and I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I know exactly what it takes to step out on your own and find success while doing it. Welcome to Bold and Branded. I'm your host, Courtney English, attorney and entrepreneur, and I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I know exactly what it takes to step out on your own and find success while doing it. Welcome to Bold and Branded.
How do you identify the digital assets in your business? In this episode, we're going to be talking all things digital assets and intellectual property. The key here is that you can identify what you have and realize that your creations, your brain, is actually making you money. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Bold and Branded. Today's episode, we're going to dive into intellectual property. So I always like to kick off this episode with your brain can make you money. Your creativity can actually drive value to your brand and your business. Oftentimes, I see business owners tell me, oh, I just have a few online blogs or a few PDFs, so not really much. Or I have a lead magnet that someone can put in their email and get some sort of value from me. But really what I'm selling is my services, my consulting, my coaching, my one-to-one, or maybe even your in-person services. While those things are important because that is part of your revenue, the things you create to lead people to you are actually digital assets, also known as intellectual property. Beyond that, if you're not providing one-to-one services, maybe you have a course and that's how people work with you, or they buy your templates or your downloads or your workout program, whatever it may be, those things have value as well. But it's not just the things you get paid for. It can be the things that drive traffic back to you for the services that do pay. So the first thing I want to point out is you need to identify what your intellectual property is or your digital assets. We're going to call them intellectual property. I know that sounds lawyery, but that's my lingo. So let's stick with that. So what is it? What do you have? Do you have perhaps a really well-tested lead magnet that drives people to find you online? Or you have a viral post that you've used and retooled time after time. Maybe you have a blog that you wrote that went viral, or someone picked it up and posted it and you found a new following from that. The content's really important to you. Maybe it's the brand name. Brand name's catchy. People Google it. Or maybe it's an image or design or logo you created that when people see it, they know that's you. These are all pieces of your intellectual property. So the first thing you want to do in identifying your intellectual property is, what do you have? What does it do? Let me give you an example. Marketing funnels. This is business lingo 101, right? When you're building a business and you're trying to get clients, you typically build a funnel. The top of that funnel, you have a low cost or free way for your audience to become associated with you. And then you try to move them down through this funnel to a way where they pay you for your services, your products, your goods, whatever there may be. The top of that funnel typically is something of value that you're giving for free. If that top of that funnel has a high conversion rate, that is intellectual property that should be protected. All of this is intellectual property that you've created with your brain, your intellect. However, what should be protected? We need to identify where that value is. And if it's a high converting, it's getting people put into your funnel, then yes, absolutely, you should protect it. I often get pushback here where people say, but it's not making me money directly. Why should I put money in something that's not directly paying me back? Where's the ROI? Well, if you heard my previous podcast, you understand trademarks can provide protections. That was my last episode, 103. But beyond that, this is part of your foundation of protecting your business and the way people get into your business so they can make you money. It doesn't have to be a one for one. Oftentimes, business owners can get caught up in this mentality of cost per widget is what I call it. So it took $5 to buy the widget. I sold it for $10. I made $5. And while that can work in some businesses, the truth of the matter is when you are marketing yourself or when you are online hunting for clients, that ratio and the way you convert that expense or that ROI is hard to quantify. Now, without getting on a side tangent about marketing, I will say this. Your marketing budget should be a mix of what you can quantify. You spend X ad dollars, it gets you X amount of revenue. And a mix of what you can't exactly quantify. The networking coffees, the relationship building, and that marketing funnel. So before you get all stuck on, well, I'm not charging for this, so I shouldn't be paying to protect it. Keep in mind what it's doing. How does it fit into your business overall? And that cost to protect it might be less than you think. So there's a incentive there as well. Now, back to my marketing funnel example. If you are the person who has that lead magnet or has that high-level offer that puts them into your funnel, that's often going to qualify for a copyright. Copyrights are how we protect images, literary works, PDFs, really your creation. It's how we protect the actual content of that creation. And they're pretty inexpensive to get. Yes, I said that. Pretty inexpensive to get. The reason being is the Copyright Office, with the government, their goal is really to protect the artists. And you might see yourself as an entrepreneur and maybe not an artist, but that's really what you are. You're creating. You're the creator. You're the artist. So the goal is to just have a solid level of protection there. Now, why would you want to register? You want to register your copyright. So if someone infringes on you, you can enforce it. If you want to license it, you can. If you want to sell it, you have the legal proof you own it. There's a myriad of reasons. And while those details matter, for our purposes, just know that a copyright is an inexpensive protection you can get for the things that drive traffic to your business. Now, if you have a podcast or you have an online course, or other digital content that is filled with your wealth, your knowledge, your expertise, the very thing that people want to pay you for, those all qualify for copyrights. If you created them, they are your works of art. They are your assets. And those assets need to be protected. You'll hear me say this time and time again. Your digital assets need an insurance policy, just like your home, the car you drive. You insure them because they're an asset, maybe a liability to some of you, but there's something there that's going to hurt really bad if something happens to your home or your car, right? That is why you need to have protection for your intellectual property. So copyright, that's our first one, is an inexpensive way to do this for the things that qualify. Now, moving to the next piece of intellectual property protection and identification for that matter, is my personal favorite, trademarks. Why are trademarks my favorite? Trademarks are how you protect your brand. It's the identity when someone Googles you, it's how they find you, it's how they know you, it's the name of your business. Upscale Law, my law firm, is trademarked. And that is my brand. People know me for that, they Google it, they find Courtney English, business and trademark attorney, Upscale Law. And that is how I want to be known. Why did I trademark it? People ask me this a lot. Why didn't you just put your name on your firm? And I'm telling you, that thought had crossed my mind. When I first had launched, I played with variations of my name, Courtney English Law, all types of things, before I could find what really fits. Then I stepped back and said, what is my vision for my firm? Well, my vision is I want to bring on other people who care about entrepreneur success. And while we are a law firm, we also offer other services. We consult with business owners frequently. We strategize, and a little teaser for my online course that's coming up as well. So it made sense to have a brand where it wasn't just me on it, but I could bring in other people who could do the things that I can't do, or perhaps share the same vision as me. And that has been very successful. At one point in time, I had to get a valuation on my business, and I was discussing with someone who was doing the valuation. It was for, you know, life insurance purposes. And they stated that it was very wise that I had a brand name, because that meant that this was a true asset. If something happened to me and I can no longer run it, I could be sold because it had a name tied to it that wasn't just my name. And they'd seen a lot in their line of work where people weren't able to offload personally branded businesses. Now, if your personal brand is your brand, and if you want to take it to the grave with you, by all means, that is your right. But for me, I like thinking about the long game. I like thinking about my brand meaning something beyond just me. I like it to be bigger than myself. So it absolutely made sense to stick with a brand type name. That trademark protection gives me that. There's an asset. There's a value to the name. Even the domain is worth something now. But most of you who've driven traffic to your websites probably will find that as well. So trademark protection is really important for brand recognition and building blocks in your business. It also can be important if you want to exit one day. I get a lot of business owners who are starting out and they have a clever name and their plan is to exit. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people are just really good off the ground and they know that about themselves, that they're good at the building, but maybe the operations and maintenance isn't their thing. Lots of folks like that, and that's okay. So they know they need to exit. Or they build something and turn it for a profit. Again, when you're an entrepreneur, you can be as creative as you want. But that name you use with that business holds substantial value. So when you're getting off the ground, and if your plan is especially to exit, that trademark to protect that intellectual property, that name and brand of your business, is very important. Now, trademarks can be the name, they can be the logo, and they can be a catchy slogan underneath. They can be all of them or one of them. It really comes down to use. It's how you're using it, how you're holding yourself out to the public. That's what qualifies for trademark protection. So it's not quite as inexpensive as copyright, but the protection is vast. It allows you to get your attorney fees back in litigation, which copyrights can do that too sometimes. But trademarks also can give you a really cool way to shut down copycat infringers, copycat domains, social media, all sorts of fun things. So go back to my trademark protection episode and you'll learn more about that. We'll do one on copyrights too. But for now, this is the piece I want to lay. And finally, another way to protect your intellectual property is, believe it or not, through contracts. So people think that contracts sound boring and that they are, you know, slow and an attorney drafted them. There's all this legalese and it's hard to understand, but it doesn't have to be that way. Contracts should set boundaries in your business. Like when you work with a client, what you expect of them and what they can expect of you. You provide the service, they pay you money. There is a exchange there. Again, boundaries. Now, contracts to protect your intellectual property can look a little bit different, but mainly I'm talking about terms and conditions. Typically, when someone accesses your online course, your data, goes to your website, you need some types of terms and conditions that says, hey, everything on here belongs to me. You will not copy it. It is protected. It is protected, and I claim any rights to it. That will actually give you another avenue to fight that person if they infringed. So it gives you a couple ways to fight, a couple more weapons in your arsenal, if you will. So that's extremely important, because when we get down to a litigation or even just a negotiation to try to get someone to stop doing something, you want every weapon available to you. So lay that additional foundation and protect that. Also, another piece of key intellectual property will come up with trade secrets. And this can also be protected with a contract. sometimes things don't quite qualify for a copyright or a trademark. So there's really no registration. And maybe you don't want it public. You have a methodology of how you acquire your customers that you have built and you are very proud of. Something that's, you know, kind of secret, and it leads to the secret sauce of your business. That's great. But you're not going to be able to seek any type of true protection and registration there. So that's, again, where a contract can come into place. When people come into your business to work with you and they are exposed to these secrets, they're exposed to this key intellectual property that you developed, you can have them sign things like a non-disclosure agreement or perhaps a terms of services agreement, the way they work with you, what they do get exposed to, and how you remediate it. Another thing can be just confidentiality clauses. There's a couple ways to structure this, and it depends on the interaction you're having. If it's a client, if it's a vendor, if it's an employee even. But what you need to know is there probably needs to be some type of paper there that protects that methodology and those secrets, because they are key intellectual property in your business and they drive revenue to you. So it's absolutely of importance that you do this. While we are limited in protecting our trade secrets on a federal level with registration, I'm going to give you a quick little story about how terms of services can protect you. I had a client one time who had a very robust online course. She developed a very specific method where she taught online business owners how to reach their audience. It was extremely nuanced and it certainly fit her brand. So when you got access to her course, she was sharing with you her innermost secrets. She had a client, a course member, take that information and share it across the interwebs. When she said, hey, this is mine, you can't take it, the course student said, well, I came up with this on my own. We just happened to have the same idea. She could look in and see that that course student had accessed that information numerous times. So the likelihood that it was her own idea, was very slim. But what we were able to do is we had a really good terms of service that course student signed when she signed up with the course. Because she had done that, the language in there made it very clear that you could not rip off any information there. And if you did, you were liable. And not just liable for the damage you did, but liable for my client's attorney fees because you're in the wrong. And these things all can be custom drafted, of course. But in this situation, this is how we had it. Because we were able to send her a copy of her signed contract with an agreement, we were able to quickly settle the matter. Get my client compensated, get this stuff off the internet, and move on. Now, I do get some clients, and of course, there are just some personalities that want to fight on the matter of principle. We've all been there, right? There's something that just rubs you wrong, and you want to keep pushing. But when you're in a business, and if you have a quick way to put out a fire so you could turn your attention back to the things that are profiting you, what a powerful tool to not only protect yourself, to give you back your time, your energy, save you a lot of money. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Bold and Branded. I hope you found some value in this episode and you too can step out and protect your intellectual property.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bold and Branded, hosted by yours truly, Courtney English. Tune in each week for the latest and greatest tips and tricks for your business so you can also live bold and, of course, protect your brand.